Welcome back to the Divine Reconnection podcast. Today, it's just going to be me, Natalie, talking to you about today's topic, which is going to be a really interesting topic that I hope can be helpful for people who are anxiously attached and are seeking a safe and healthy relationship. If you are watching this on YouTube, I am sitting on a hammock, so you'll see me swinging back and forth. I'm in my kitchen in the Airbnb that we're staying at in Colombia. If you've been following Lauren and I, you know that we are travelers. And so we met in Korea. We were just in Thailand for 6 months living. And then we moved to Colombia and we've been loving it. We're about to extend our stay for another 3 months. And just being in this environment has been so abundantly fulfilling for us. Like, we're surrounded by greenery. I wish you could see what I'm looking at. I'm seeing bamboo trees. I'm seeing bananas and plantains growing on the trees outside. I'm seeing orange trees, mango trees. Just life is abundant, y'all. Like, life is beautiful. And I really want you to, at least today, step outside and take it in. Take in what your surrounding, what nature has to offer, because at the end, no matter what thoughts you have, and me being anxiously attached, I'm always in the mindset of my own inadequacy. Baby girl, you are adequate. You are abundant. You are more than enough. Honestly, it wasn't until this relationship that I even realized that I had an anxious attachment style, and it showed up in many different areas within our relationship. What's going around on social media right now is like, how can you heal your anxious attachment style or your avoidant attachment style, whatever kind of attachment style you have that is not secure? How can you heal that? And do you need to heal that before you get into a healthy and safe relationship? And I'm going to tell you, no, you don't have to heal yourself before you get into a relationship, especially a healthy relationship. Because what healthy relationships are at the core is a mirror to yourself, so you can see what it is that you need to work on even more. Lauren and I always preach this to ourselves, to our clients. Your triggers are not bad. When you're feeling triggered, it's literally a sign from within to look deeper at what that pain is. It's an opportunity for you to see yourself in a new way, in a deeper way. Your attachment style is how your childhood and growing up environment taught you you can expect to receive love. So if you're anxiously attached, you are in a way performative in how you believe you'll be receiving love. You probably growing up, you were a perfectionist. You were academically inclined. You probably had straight A's. You were probably the star child or the star pupil, and nobody really ever had to worry about you. You were taught that validation for all of your successes was the prime example of love. And if you did not excel at that level, you were in a way punished, either academically, either passive aggressively. And so your environment growing up could have been very unstable emotionally for you. You've learned that you had to do in order to be accepted and loved. Maybe you grew up in an environment where there was a lot of anger and yelling and screaming. And maybe that's something that you subconsciously learned was your responsible for balancing and monitoring. You learn to tune into other people's emotions, even the smallest grimace on their face, to know that there's something wrong and that there's something that you can do to help balance them out. You've learned to be external in your experience. And so part of your healing journey is coming back to yourself and becoming inward and aware of what's going on within you and what it is that you need, rather than focusing on everyone else's needs. Like I said before, you don't need to heal yourself before you get into a healthy relationship. My relationship with Lauren is the healthiest relationship I have ever been in. And that's across the board, across all of my family, across all of my friendships, across everything. And it has allowed me the space and the time to develop and understand and gain awareness of what's going on within me. If you are the partner of someone who is anxiously attached, we're going to be talking about ways that you can support your person in their anxiety. The first thing is open, honest, and transparent communication. Nothing is off limits in communicating between Lauren and I. We can talk about almost anything. Just because we can talk about anything doesn't mean that it's always comfortable to talk about it, but I have the space to talk about it. I have the space to be openly emotional about what it is that I'm talking about. I can be angry and she can hear me in that pain that I'm expressing to her without the fear of some kind of retaliation or being told that I'm wrong or that I'm overly emotional or too sensitive. My sensitivity is my superpower. I like to give this example of your phone. I'm going to ask you guys a question. Do you feel safe enough to give your partner your passcode to your phone? I think people misconstrue the idea of privacy for secrecy. Privacy is an understanding between both parties that you're going to respect their boundaries, that you're going to respect their space, you're going to respect whatever they got going on. Now, secrecy is something that is not agreed upon both parties. Secrecy is the intentional hiding of something. It's the intentional holding back on certain information. And secrecy is rooted in fear. Privacy is rooted in trust. Lauren and I trust each other. We don't feel the need to hide anything from each other. So yes, we have each other's passcodes because what are we going to do on each other's phone? There's nothing on there anyway to even want to look. She's not holding her phone back from me. I'm not worried about anything because if anything happens, she is the first to tell me. Open, honest, and transparent communication helps to create an environment that feels safe enough for your anxiously attached partner to regulate themselves, to regulate their nervous systems, to be able to calm that anxiety that's rising within them that is fueled by insecurity or fueled by some level of fear. Effective communication is necessary in being able to express your needs. What my partner needs, she tells me. I don't have to fill in the blank. There's no passive aggressiveness. There's no expectations unmet because all expectations from her are communicated. There's no guessing that I have on my end. My partner and I are an anxious, avoidant attachment style. And so when my partner starts to pull away or go internal or want to be more independent versus how we usually are, which is all over each other all the time, once I start feeling that pull away, I get hyper in tuned with her. And then I'm thinking to myself, what more can I do or what am I doing wrong that's causing her to push away? When my partner starts to pull away, how she supports me and making sure that I can regulate myself is providing me reassurance that everything is okay. She'll say, you didn't do anything wrong. I just need some time for myself. Give me about a day. Give me about 2 days. Okay? How did that feel? How did that feel for you just hearing somebody tell you like, hey, I'm need some time for myself. This is just something I'm working through. I just need some time. And here's the amount of time that you can give me. For the anxious attachment person, that gives me the signal like, okay, I am good. There's nothing I need to do. Let me just go about my day. I don't have to worry. Stop this, the narrative and the story that's going on in my head. Boom, we're good. We're good. Where can you give your partner reassurance when you're pulling away? And in the anxious avoidant dynamic, this is This is the play. This is the push-pull. Because when she starts pulling away as the anxious person, my thing is to run after her, to give love, to show love, to reach out, to then I go internal and think of what more can I do? Am I doing enough? It's so important to understand that how you are feeling is not your partner's fault. You don't blame your partner for how it is that you are responding to that action. But what you can do is take ownership for what you're feeling. So for example, I feel lonely when you begin pulling away. I'm not blaming you for pulling away. I don't know why you're pulling away. You didn't do anything wrong, period. So being able to take ownership that you didn't do wrong and to have somebody to reassure you that you didn't do anything wrong is another way that helps to ground you in your being, in yourself, in your mind. When you are an anxiously attached person, you are so used to saying yes. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, of course. And sometimes you don't even realize that it's part of your own programming, that you are overcommitting yourself to things, that you are saying yes to things that you haven't even sat with yourself to see if you had the capacity to do it. I've signed myself up for so many things, and while I'm doing it, I'm complaining the whole time. How my partner supports me in this is she recognizes and she sees me putting myself out there, and she will call me out and ask me to reflect on my capacity. One of the first things that she did in our relationship, I'm a cooker, okay? I love to cook. And once I knew that my baby loved to eat, it was done, okay? I was cooking left and right. What you want, baby? What you want? What you want? You want this today? Okay, I got you, I got you. She had to sit me down one day and was like, do you really want to cook right now? Like, you're walking around looking kind of overwhelmed, tired, stressed. You don't have to cook every day. You don't have to cook for me. Do you want to cook for you? That was the first shift in me asking myself before doing something if I actually want to do it. So my partner supports me in making me check on myself first. She is one of the main reasons why my boundaries are so strong, why I feel even more comfortable in saying no, because first, she wants me to say no to her. She wants me to stand up for myself to her. And she celebrates me when I do say no. Do you want to cook today, baby? No. Good job. Good job. You did that right. I'm proud of you. So not only supporting my boundaries, but celebrating when I actually use and I stand by my boundaries, which makes me more confident in being able to say no to other people. One of the phrases that I now use when somebody asks me to do something for them, I'll let you know if it's within my capacity. That allows me to be able to sit with myself first before committing to anything. And then I give it about like 24, 48 hours, see how I feel. And then I will follow up and say like, hey, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that. But if I do have capacity, I'll let them know what I do have capacity for. One last way that my partner supports me is she checks me. She will check me when my anxiety is fueling my behavior. Recently, she had begun pulling away and she hadn't given me the reassurance just yet. And so I found myself sitting with this uncomfortable feeling of anxiety, but also wanting to try to reconnect with her on some level. And so I would go to her and touch her on her head or be like, can I give you a hug? Or do you want to do something today? What she did is she sat me down and was like, I love spending time with you. I love holding you. I love doing all of that stuff. But what you're doing right now does not feel like it's coming out of a place of love. It feels like it's coming out of a place of fear. She will check me when my anxiety is coming up because I'm fearful of something. And that allows me to sit and reflect with myself and think, what is going on? What do I feel like I'm lacking that I'm reaching out to her for? And that gives me the space and the time to be able to sit with myself. You may not have learned how to sit with what you're feeling and have only just automatically responded to what it is you're feeling. A lot of you are acting without knowing why you're acting that way. Being able to give yourself the space and the time to sit with the underlying feeling, the feeling of inadequacy, the fear of being of loneliness, the fear of failure, being able to sit with yourself and understand what that feels like, why you feel that way, and what actions you automatically take to try to counteract that negative feeling, that is a huge part of your awareness journey. And being able to have that space and time allows you to get more and more familiar with who you are and what is going on within you. I'm not going to say it's going to be comfortable, but it makes you more comfortable with sitting with that emotion and allowing it to be okay. So those are the main ways that my partner supports me in my anxious attachment style and how we have been able to develop this safe, healthy, loving, conscious relationship that gives both of us space and time to show up in the ways that we are. And also to heal those attachments that we have, to be able to release the need for control and to allow our fears and worries to be present while also giving ourselves the reassurance and the validation that it's okay to feel this way. I want to know, what is your biggest takeaway from this video, and how do you plan to support your partner with anxiety moving forward? Anyways, thank you guys for tuning in to Divine Reconnection. I will see you guys in our next podcast. Bye.